go through our Lord High Priestly Prayer in John 17. Tonight we're going to be dealing with verses 17 through 19, but let's start at 17 and read to the end of the chapter to get how this marvelous prayer come to a close. Beginning in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Let's pray. Father, again, we are somewhat on holy ground right here with our Lord's Prayer continuing. The fact that he dedicates so much time for the disciples and their concern and their care about what they're about to face, and yet he equips them and provides and prays and gives them all that they need. And Father, it speaks of also those who will believe as a result of their word, their testimony, their message, their declaration of the gospel. And Lord, that's us, you know, throughout church history of the continual chain of the message going from place to place, person to person, one person at a time. Oh, Father, by your grace, you have saved your people. You have given these people to your Son, and we see he is delighting in that. And the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The Lord be with us tonight as we look at a very important component that vital, critical, and warranted our Lord to pray on behalf of his people for. We ask that you help us to be attentive. In Christ's name, amen. So far we have learned in this prayer about the Father that he had prayed for those who the Father had given to him for their security, for their joy, and for their protection from the evil one. That's summarizing it in a short fashion. All in the context of the world hating them. He was promising them, praying for this, take care of them as they go and take care of business on the cross. And he's speaking to the fact that all of this and the world hating them because they don't belong to him, the world. The world, hate him because the children of God belong to the Father, belong to the Son. Here now our Lord continued his prayer, and he brings up a very important topic that often gets pushed aside and not seen to be priority. We so many churches are engaged in ministry and works and programs, and all of that is good, but nothing replaces the importance of sanctification. Our growing in grace, growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's short, to the point. William Henderson said it this way, quote, "It is as if Jesus said, not only keep them from the evil one, but also consecrate them in the truth. Keep them from one and confirm them in the other. Keep them from Satan, the evil one, and confirm them in your word, in your truth." The idea here, we need the seed. It's obvious, it's right here, but we missed it sometimes. He had prayed to the Father, sanctify them. This is the Father's work. And we must yield to his work in us and through us. And his instrument he chooses to use is the word of God. His truth that is found in the word. The essential idea when you break down this concept of sanctify is the fact that sanctification is being made holy, of also being a set apart for to be an instrument in God's hand for a work of service. It had been set apart from the world of darkness to live a life so that in heart and mind, in thought, words, and deed, one begins to live more and more by the law of God and in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's sanctification. That it's not a mythical word. It's just a very practical word. When I saved you, the day you got saved, your sanctification work began. Jesus prayed that his followers would be sanctified. Sanctify them. That's what he said. He looked to God the Father to bring about their sanctification. The sanctification is the process of progressing in holiness of life into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We see the importance of sanctification throughout the letters. For example, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness," which is another way of saying sanctification. He not only commands this, he not only ordained that this is what I saved you for, that you would deny ungodliness and pursue holiness. He even predestined this, Romans 8:29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." How did that happen? 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord," beholding him, "are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." The more we contemplate and see Christ and his character and his beauty of his holiness and in the life of the gospel, the more little by little will be transformed into that same glory. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification begins the moment of our salvation with God, when we're reconciled, justified, forgiven. It continued until the day we died and to be forever with the Lord. How did he do this? By your truth. Sanctify them by your truth. I love it. When you look at the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each one of them has been referenced as the God of truth in their person. For example, God the Father is the truth. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judged, a God of truth. And without injustice, righteousness, and upright is he. Jesus, obviously, we know John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through me. And of course, the Holy Spirit, we have already learned in the upper room discourse in John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you or we know him, for he dwells within us and will be in us. This is all in reference to sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's all collected in the scriptures. This is how Jesus answered the question. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The truth is the word of God, the revelation of God, God revealing himself through his word. Revelation of himself. How does one become holy? Good question. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. 2 verses later, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And you can also go stay in Psalm 119:151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word of truth. How did God sanctify his church? How did he work in and through us? Ephesians 4:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of water by the word. Sanctification happens when we are governed by the word of God. Does the word of God have authority over our life? A lot of people read the Bible, but that's not the same as it governing your life. It's one thing to read it, one thing to know parts of it, can recall it, even know some good theology. But the point is do the application. Do you get to the place where you're heeding, obeying, responding, applying? All of those words that all speak to the, in a way of synonym to obedience. Do we recognize the authority of the Word of God, and do we submit to it and let it tell us how to live our lives? Let me even ask the deeper question. Do you desire to be governed by it? Do you study God's word in order to know and obey its truth? Or do you stop with simply knowledge alone? The whole idea is that the truth of God's word is to transform us and to renew us. The Bible makes that clear in James 1:21-25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looked into the perfect law of liberty and continued in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Very clear. Don't be a hearer only. Don't just simply knowledge base only, but to be a doer of the word. James made that real clear. So the question is, do we seek to apply a truth to our daily lives, to be transformed? That is what our Lord is praying to his Father, that they will be set apart and they will be sanctified. Sanctification will take its place. Ray Sedman said this, quote, "The world lives by what it thinks is truth, by values and standards which are worthless, but the world esteems highly." Jesus said in Luke 15:15, "For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." That is how the world lives. And how can we live in this kind of world? Touch it, hear it, having it pouring into our ears and exposing our eyes day and night and not be conformed to its image and squeezed into its mold? The answer is we must know the truth. We must know the world and the life the way God sees it, the way it really is. We must know it so clearly and strongly that even while we are listening to these alluring lies, that we can brand them as lies and know that they are wrong. Because to know the truth in a way that we know it well is to have discernment and recognize lies for what they are. Lie. You know the old stamp. Accepted, rejected. Lie, truth. We need to have discernment. We're both to try the Spirit and reject the bad and embrace the good. What is that but stamping either true or false? We must recognize the Word of God and its authority in our lives. This is not basically knowing only, but to gain an understanding of the truth and then apply it to our lives. We must not be ashamed or afraid where the truth leads us. It'll always lead us in the right path. The world may not like it. People might say all kinds of different things. But wisdom path, the path of righteousness, the path of truth, is always a good path. Those who are sanctified by the truth are set apart to serve as well. So let's look on. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Here what we see, what I believe is the mission. 16 times this phrase, you have sent me into the world, was used in the Gospel of John, where Christ is being sent by the Father for a mission. We know what that mission is. We've been in John a long time, folks, and the message has been consistent. So he had not forgotten what he was sent for. That's why he said at the beginning of this night, the hour has come. We're here. The moment of truth is here. And so he is speaking of here, and it carries the idea of being sent on a mission and being fully equipped for that undertaking. And he said, you sent me into the world, and I have sent them into the world. Frederick Godet, a French commentator, said this, quote, but how did Jesus say that he had sent them into the world when they were already in it? Good, valid question. It is because he had drawn them to himself and raised them into a higher sphere than the life of the world. And it is from there that he now sent them into the world, just as he was himself sent from heaven, and the mission which he gave them is only the continuation of that which the Father had given him. Wow, what? Following on him? How in the world can you improve on the Lord? Well, you can't, but he did say earlier, and we dealt with it, you'll do greater things than I. And we already dealt with all the nuances of that. Not only because of the pure numbers and the permanent dwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit to do the work worldwide. And so we see here, here's the first reason why he prayed to the Father to sanctify them. Sanctify them because they're going into the world. And folks, there's nothing more compelling than a life that they can't argue with. They may hate our message. They may reject it, refuse it, dismiss it. But a consistent, godly life, not a perfect life, only one did that, and he's leaving here. But he's asking us to be sanctified in the light of the truth. And so we see here, just like the Father sent Jesus into the world with a mission and a message, Jesus had sent his disciples in the world with the same. We call the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go in the world. Make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them to observe everything, and I'll be with you to the end of the age. And so we see here throughout that Christ sent his disciples into the very world that hates them. Here lies the importance of sanctification and the truth. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, y'all know what that is, the armor of God. Let me remind you, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We know what the armor is, but one of them is, jump down to verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the only offensive weapon we have. Everything else, both to deflect the devil's darts, our only weapon is the sword, the word. Our Lord prayed that we will do our mission and faithfully go into the world with the gospel message of reconciliation. That's where we hear 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And though God were pleading through us, we implore you, sinners, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Wow. That hit plan. Now we know he could have done any way he wanted to, but he has chosen the people he has saved and transformed to turn around and share that message. That's our duty. That's what we were sent for. Those who are sanctified in the truth are set apart to live holy lives, serve one another, and reach out to the world with the word of forgiveness, which is the reason why he was sent into the world. J.T. Ryle said this, quote, men may refuse to see the truth of our argument, but they cannot evade the evidence of a godly life. Such a life adorns the Christian faith and makes it beautiful, and sometimes wins those who are not won by the word. Even when you get into 1 Peter 3, when we have a scenario of a believing wife and an unbelieving husband, that the husband could be won over by the example, godly example of the wife. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will be free from sin, free from error, free from self-love, to love God and to love others. That's what the truth does. It sets us free to know what we're supposed to do. That's why one of the pernicious errors of our day is follow your truth. That's a lie. Nobody has the truth but God. Everybody else is just doing that which is right in their own mind, their own thought, being wise in their own eyes. That's folly and foolishness. Vanity, take it to disaster. When you don't govern your life with the word of God, with principles, and led to and fro with feelings and trends and the way the world wants to mold and shape you. That's why in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it said, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity to flatter, but through love, serve one another. Leon Morris said this, quote, we are never to lose sight of the fact that those who are Christ are saved not to satisfy their own desires, but to serve. They are all on a mission. Would bring them to verse 19. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Here we see Christ consecrating himself as a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing in the sight of God. In essence, what he is saying, he was leaving them an example. Obviously not for the atonement. None of it can do it. But we can live a life for him. Our Lord had sent from heaven to lay down his life for those whom the Father had given. That's why we see him in John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A couple verses later in verse 15, the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Even Paul said earlier in our study in 2 Timothy, I suffer for the elect state. He laid down his life for the church, Ephesians 5:25. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Here that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Why? To sanctify his people, to set them apart from the world of lies unto the God of truth. R.D. Sproul said it this way, quote, falsehood corrupts us. The fall of the human race began with a lie, with a distortion of the truth. It began with false doctrine that came through the message of the serpent from hell. And since that day, every time the truth is negotiated, compromised, denied, and weakened, our corruption gets worse and worse. The only thing that rescues you from yourself or me from myself is a true understanding of God, a true understanding of Christ, a true understanding of our hopeless condition, and a true understanding of grace. The truth redeems. The truth preserves. The truth makes us free. The truth makes us holy. Jesus understood that. And in the agony of his intercession, he prayed that a disciple might be the people of the truth. End quote. Error devastates. Lies, when embraced, deceives. That's why there's no way you can be in the truth, follow the truth, obey the truth if you don't know the truth. It's not going to come out of poof, there it is. It comes from the reading, asking God to open his word to transform us, to change us. So, our sanctification begins with the truth in the mind and follow through with the Holy Spirit work within. One of the greatest things I had the privilege to do a couple years ago was to be part of my pastor who mentored me retirement. They asked me to come and speak a few words. There were six of us all together. I represented a certain time period of his life. And I basically had to do a miracle. They only gave me 12 minutes. I begged for two more and they gave it to me. But I basically in one part of it said, what do you do to a man? What do you say to a man who taught you verses like in the early part of your life that stayed with you as a pillar for the rest of your life? And one of those verses is Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, though you may prove it is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You cannot be transformed unless your mind is renewed, and your mind only can be renewed with the Word of God, and the Word of God will take you to the will of God, and you can test it all day long, and it will always be true, it will always be good, it will always be perfect. I thank God for him telling me to memorize those verses. I encourage you to do the same. The only way we cannot be molded and shaped and fashioned and prepped into the world value system is to have this renewed, get garbage out and put good in. That's why I like that part in Psalm 119:11, the word of I hid in my heart. When I did the word study, when I did that verse, and when we were in 119, The word hid is aptly a word that's a little deeper than simply memorizing. It is treasuring. Do you treasure it? Do you value it? You have known, and we may be guilty of it ourselves, we have memorized it and didn't really treasure it. Treasuring it is a whole different thing. You want to treasure it so it can transform your life so you don't sin against Him. Here's another one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, showed you for salvation. How? Through sanctification, by the Spirit, in belief in the truth. It's all there. It's all there. Salvation, sanctification, truth. So, beloved, we are to be sanctified in the truth, and we are supposed to be setting forth the gospel of God's grace before the world. So, two things I want to encourage you to do. Number one, very simple, straightforward. The Word of God is the instrument of our sanctification. You want to grow in grace? You want to get more like Christ? Here it is. Number two, you and I have been sent by Christ to follow His example in sharing the good news to the world. Let's be true, let's be faithful, and follow the Lord. We see in the book of Acts they did that, even to the point of death. Suffered, persecuted, didn't stop them. Thank you, Lord, we're worthy to suffer for you. God is good. Let's pray. Father, help us. Sweet, practical Christianity here. All in the prayer of our Lord on our behalf. That we would live lives consistent to your purpose. Consistent to your plan. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son. That's where it all starts. Thank you for the giving of your word so we can be guided, renewed, even other places. We learn that we are cleansed by the word. The truth sets us free. The truth guides us. The truth clears up falsehoods in our head. Guides us out of ignorance with wisdom. Oh Lord, we're so grateful. We thank you for it. Now Lord, may your preaching of your word do its work tonight for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.